I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we're blessed to hear the account of the miracle of the healing of the 10 lepers. And we see the power of the ministry of Christ as he is bringing the kingdom of God into the world. And so the Lord Jesus is not at risk of being infected by leprosy. Leprosy is in danger of being infected by life. And it leaves those who are infected by it, those who are dying from leprosy. They are cleansed and healed. And one returns to give thanks. So we rejoice today, giving God thanks that Jesus has come into the world to rescue our human race from death. He is now delivering us from the bondage to death. And we look forward to the ultimate experience of the resurrected life when all illness and all infirmity and all death will be banished and will be an endless life in the glorified state. So any hope that we have for bodily healing, any desire we have for life and vitality is completely answered and fulfilled in the resurrected life. That is our great hope and expectation. And it is secure for us by what Christ has done. And he is the first of those who have risen from the dead and is now in a glorified state at the right hand of God the Father. We also see that Christ has not only come to heal our physical frame, but also to set aright our souls and our spirits. On the Cave Creek cross, on the east face, there is a panel that shows this aspect of Christ's ministry. The Cave Creek cross is inspired by the Ruffalo cross. It's an ancient Celtic monument from Scotland. It was knocked over by the iconoclast during the Cromwellian times, but then reconstructed in the last century. And it is a marvel of the Christian witness in the British Isles. And that panel we brought forth into this art in our courtyard. And it shows Christ who is sitting in repose. And there are two beasts at his feet. And it says, Jesus Christ, Savior of the world. And the beasts acknowledge him, King. Now, the spiritual meaning of this panel is that Jesus Christ has come, and those in whom he dwells now have the mastery over their passions, over their emotions, and over their body. So Christ has come that we might be at peace with ourselves. Now we know that the wicked have no peace. Those who are turning away from God and walking away from him like the prodigal son have no peace. They are in a state of emotional and spiritual distress. God has come in Jesus Christ to deliver us from that state, that we not fulfill the works of darkness and evil, but instead turn to him, be saved, and by his Spirit bring forth the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the reality of our walk now. We give God humble thanks and we rejoice in that hour that we first believed. But as Christians, that's not the only conversion we're looking forward to. We go from conversion to conversion, from glory to glory. And so this epistle challenges us today that we can come even deeper and in a greater way into the Spirit that God is pouring into us, his Holy Spirit. That we, through his Spirit of love, may bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. So in the epistle, there is a distinction or a contrast that St. Paul makes between the works of the flesh and walk in the Spirit and the life of the Spirit, and how these two contend with each other. And it's not an uncommon mistake for people to associate the works of the flesh with the body. And so flesh, it seems the same word, flesh, bone, sinew, physical body, and they would associate the evil that is in them with their body. This is a mistake that the Manichaeans made. That was the cult into which St. Augustine as a youth wandered into. Later he was converted out of it. But that was a dualistic idea where spirit is good and matter is evil. And they would say that the spirit, which is good, has been trapped in the mud filth of the body upon death and escapes again back into the spirit realm. And the body is the resident source of evil, the spirit is good. So then they desecrate the body. They don't have any respect for the body. As Christians, we know that the body is good. God created all things. He created our human frame. We're a composite creature, body, soul, and spirit, and God created us good. So our bodies are good. We don't see the body itself as the source of evil. In fact, even right now, we have to use our bodies to do the good thing of communicating the truth of the gospel and receiving it and then living it out. So I cannot share with you the gospel without using my body. We can't do telepathy. I can't go, and you get a download, and then we're on to the next part of Mass. I have to go through this physical process of taking air into my lungs, which are made of clay, forcing that air through my vocal cords, which are made of clay, using my tongue to articulate language, which is made of clay. You receive that with your body, all those delicate bones in your ear vibrating and receiving the message. That's something we do with our bodies. Our bodies are instruments for the good when we will to use them for the good. These hands made for blessing. These feet made for walking to do good works. That our body is an instrument of the Spirit when we use it for the good. Now I can easily understand how some people would say, wait a second, it really seems like the sin's coming from my body. A person who is so wrapped in lust, right? If they are, they would easily associate, right, the interconnectedness between their lust of the flesh, a fallen human nature, and what's happening in their body. It would be hard for them to disassociate that. It would seem like their body is in control and moving them in that direction. But we know from what God has told us through Christ that there is an important insight that we must understand. That is that lust is first of all a spiritual thing. Then it is enacted through the body. It goes from thought to word, then to deed. And Jesus gives us that instruction in the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that if a man looks upon a woman with lust, then he's already committed adultery. So it's a spiritual matter first. And if a person, and that's what we call the flesh, that is the fallen part of our human nature, or the depraved will. Not the physical frame, but the depraved will. Now, obviously, a person may take that from thought then into deed and become a fornicator, an adulterer, and then they're doing it with their body, but it doesn't originate with the body. It originates in that invisible part of our human nature. That fallen part of our human nature. That which Christ came to redeem, and now that he has entered in, well, the old man will be co-crucified with Christ, and behold, for those who have received the Spirit of Christ, all things are new. We are given a new nature that we not have to live under the dominion of our fallen human nature. Same thing would apply to hatred. St. John takes it all the way to its spiritual, to the spiritual insight in his epistle, first epistle, the third chapter, when he says, if a man hates his brother, he is a murderer. And you know that no murderer should dwell among us. So the hatred makes him a murderer already. He may not have even, thought about murdering his brother, and he's never lifted a hand against him. But he's already accounted one by the sin of his own heart, his fallen nature. So how do we overcome that? And St. Paul will give us the answer in the epistle. Walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the works of the flesh. So now our bodies may, be inhabited by a soul and a spirit that is now regenerated by God the Holy Spirit, and Christ who now dwells in us gives us the victory. So that is where we are looking for our share in the victory of Christ, by his Spirit dwelling in us. I remember the example given by, or the experience of one of our parishioners at St. Nicholas Church, who in the early 90s was working as a social worker in South Phoenix. And he said, it was amazing, Father Darrell. I saw an amazing thing. He'd been working with a guy in the projects that was coming out of the gang. And he and his girlfriend, they opened the packages before marriage, and she got pregnant, and he decided to man up, and they got married, and he was going to be father now. real father to this child. Not as father or child, but be father to this child. So he said, it was amazing. I saw this massive guy, right? His big, beefy forearms all tattooed up, holding his little child, looking into that little face of his baby daughter weeping. He was a changed man. Something changed in him. Well, sometimes we see that at a glance. It's a mysterious thing, but where love conquers, where now there's a spirit in this man that overcomes wrath and hatred and brings new life by the love of God flowing through him, allows him to have the fruit of the spirit of gentleness toward this little child, which is his. So we can see that change, that character change. And again, we are challenged that we would change continuously from glory to glory as God brings the fruits of the Spirit forth in our life. Love, joy, and peace. And we see that coming forth by the Holy Spirit, that long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and that faith and meekness and temperance. Now again, we may feel controlled by our body, right? Are you saying that it's not my body that wants me to reach for that extra pint of ice cream or that other extra beer, you know? No, it's in our spirit. So we allow the Spirit of Christ to bring temperance into our life, that we not overflow, go into the works of the flesh of gluttony. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Those St. Paul enumerates in the epistle. And we know the wages of sin is death. Those things bring a divorce from communion with God and ultimately end in death. But we have been given life, a new life, by God who now dwells in us. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? And so love is now to flourish in us and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. So today, where are you? Well, we can easily analyze the lives of other people, see their problems, but where are you in terms of obedience to Christ? I have found that for myself, recently, I've been kind of absorbed in the media because so much is going on. And I find that there's a very easy tendency for me to slip into the ways of the world, the flesh, and the devil, in terms of seeing others in a way that I begin to despise them. So if I read a couple of op-ed pieces, you know, it's very easy to see others in a bad light. And then I feel the movement in my heart of hatred toward that person. Well, I'm not made for hate. I've been rescued out of this world, and now I'm to be a vessel of love. So even if it's so common now in our civic life to begin with name-calling and mischaracterization and to begin to cultivate even a very refined and sophisticated hatred of somebody, that is not for us to follow. We are not made to hate. Hatred, remember, is the spiritual source of murder, and we're not murderers. And so how do we overcome that? I have found in my own walk the words very helpful that were given to me in the confession. When I made my sacramental confession, and the words of the confessor came back to me, to pray when I'm in temptation, O God the Holy Spirit, please direct the inmost motions of my heart. So if I feel the needle move in me toward the dark side of hatred, if, as soon as I feel that, I can call up to God and say, Holy Spirit, enter in. Come into that place, redeem that part of me that wants to gravitate toward that kind of hatred. Whatever it may be, we can pray that prayer. And in our spiritual warfare, wrestle with the flesh, our fallen human nature, and by the power of Christ, be victorious. And this warfare is upon you, and there's no getting out of it. We're in it, in the church militant, until we cross over Jordan. And there is no stepping off the sidelines and watching others wrestle. We're in it. And there is no retirement from this, though we may be retired and have, you know, income to support us in our life. We're not retired from the spiritual war that is upon us. The flesh and the spirit contend in us. We are to agree with the Holy Spirit, which is love himself, and overcome the works of darkness that are in us in our fallen human nature. And And so wrestle with these things, because there is love at hand that when it comes into you will allow you dominion over your fallen nature. That is a place of peace that Christ wants to give to you. There is a power available to you right now to hold you all together in the wholeness of holiness. The same power of love that can hold our family together, the same power of love that can hold our community of faith together, the same power of love that can hold our communities together, that can hold our nation together. And let us drink deeply of that Spirit and allow God Himself to bring forth an abundant harvest of that holy fruit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.